Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Everybody say, believe and receive. Believe and receive. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. I would like to talk tonight about believers are receivers. Believers are receivers. You may be seated. Perhaps you've heard the scientific speculation that if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody to hear it, does it make any sound? The idea behind the theory is that there has to be ears to receive or it's not sound. I don't know. You figure that out. That's kind of like calling a cold. I don't know. Amen. And I don't suppose anybody ever will if there's not anybody to hear it. Amen. But it's a speculation. But we do know this one thing, that there are transmitters and there are receivers. Our air tonight, even in this building where we're sitting, is full of sound. It's full of sound. But we cannot hear that because there's no receiver. It is said that once you release sound into the air, that it never stops. It's out there somewhere. The preaching and the teaching of Jesus is somewhere in the atmosphere if we just had a receiver that could pick it up. The preaching of Peter and the Apostle Paul is still somewhere reverberating in the airwaves if we could just somehow have a receiver that could pick it up. Amen. So there are transmitters and then there are receivers. And I want you to know that God is still transmitting. Are we receiving? God is still sending out promises. Are we receiving promises? God is still sending out Holy Ghost power. Are we receiving that power? God is still sending out healing. Are we receiving healing? God is sending out blessing. Are we receiving blessing? He sends it, but are we receiving it? The Scripture says, I think so tragically, in the book of John chapter 1, it said Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. Isn't that a travesty that the Lord came after so many years of promise and expectation, but when he came, the ones that he came to shut him out and did not receive him. But thank God for the next verse. It said, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Amen. So believers are receivers. If you believe Him, you will receive from Him. Amen. The Bible talks in various places about people that receive the Lord. There is an incident in the Scripture where Jesus needed a place to stay, and it says that Martha received Him into her house. The thing about receiving the Lord into your house is that you don't know how much you may need Him. When He came into their home, Martha did not know that there would come a day in her life that she would need Him so desperately, and that He would come through miraculously. All she did was welcome Him in. She was so excited. Oh, we need Martha's hands. Amen. She served the Lord. She was so excited to have Him there. Amen. I like those people that receive you with good groceries. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, you know, my Aunt Lena Bell went to be with the Lord recently. And that was one of the things they said when you went to her house. You said, oh, come on over. We'll just fix a little something. But I'm glad it was just a little something, because I wouldn't have been able to get around a big something. It was all laid out there. Amen. And it was all lip-smacking good. Finger-licking good. Amen. Evangelist told my mom one time, she fixed him a pie. He said, oh, he said, sister, he said, that pie was dangerous. She said, what do you mean? He said, if I would have got a lick of that on my forehead, I would have licked my brains out trying to get it all. Now, that's a dangerous pie. But Martha was one of those kind of people that said, Jesus, you're welcome here. And I'm going to tell you tonight, when Jesus feels welcome, He's going to come in, and He's going to stay, and He's going to abide if you'll just make Him at home in your heart. Amen. So when the day came that Lazarus was sick, she could send the letter with confidence, saying, He whom thou lovest is sick, knowing that she would get a right response. Yeah, she was a little disappointed when Jesus arrived 4 days later and Lazarus was in the tomb. But He hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, now Martha, He said, did I told you one thing? He said, you believe and you're going to see the glory of God. Everybody say, see, believe it and see it. Doubt it and do without it. Amen. So He said, if you'll believe it, He said, you're going to see it. Amen. Now, we all have imperfect faith. If you had to have perfect faith, you'd be in a lot of trouble. But we don't have to have perfect faith. We can be like the father of the lunatic son that was trying to commit suicide. He said, Lord, He said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Oh, what a true statement. I don't need so much help with my faith. It's the unbelieving part that I need help with. It's the doubts that I need help dealing with. But God just said, come with me. He said, take me to where Lazarus is. He said, roll away the stone. Amen. I don't think they really believed that Lazarus is going to come out of there. They just did what Jesus said. Hallelujah. They just did what He said. And that's all He ever asks you to do, is just do what He says. They rolled away the stone. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And He came out of the tomb. Hallelujah. You never know when you invite the Lord in what you're going to be facing. And I promise you one thing. Whether you have God in your life or whether you don't, you're going to have troubles. But when you have Jesus in your life, you have somebody to help you face your troubles. Amen. You've got a prayer answering God. You've got a healing God. You've got a saving God. You've got a wise God. You've got a God of provision. You've got a God of power. You've got a God of peace. You've got a God of righteousness. You've got somebody that'll stay with you through the thick and the thin. Amen. And I'm so thankful. I'm getting thick, but He's still with me. The Bible said that Jesus was going into a city, and there was a man there that was so excited that he'd come to town. He was trying to see him, but he was not real popular. People didn't like him because of his job. He was worked for the IRS of Jerusalem. He was a tax collector, and people didn't like him. So they'd try to see Jesus, and some big old burly fella would get right in his way. But I like people like Zacchaeus. He said, ain't nobody going to stop me from seeing Jesus. So he just ran ahead of the crowd. Somehow he shimmied up a tree. He got out on a limb, and one of the best places to find Jesus is out on a limb. A whole lot of folks find him when they get out on the limb. Jesus was walking by, and he looked up and saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, we used to sing about it in Sunday school, didn't we? Come down from there, because I'm going to your house for prayer. And Zacchaeus unclimbed that tree, and I love what the Bible says. It says, and he received him joyfully. I like that. Amen. When you receive the Lord, don't just receive Him. Receive Him joyfully. Get excited about it. I'm telling you, Zacchaeus was excited because Jesus was in his house. He received Him joyfully. Not reluctantly. Some people receive Jesus reluctantly. Well, I guess it can't hurt. Well, if that's the best you can do, amen, at least do that. But if you can do it like Zacchaeus did, it'll be a whole lot better. Amen. He received him into his house joyfully. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then one day, the disciples were out in a boat in the middle of a storm. And Jesus came walking on the sea. And the Bible says when he got to the boat, they received him willingly. Amen. I tell you what, when you're in the middle of a storm and you're not sure if you're going to make it, it sure is good when Jesus comes by and says, hey, can I join you? You'll receive him thankfully. You'll receive him joyfully. You'll receive him excitedly. Amen. You'll cling to him. Lord, get on this boat and don't you ever go. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter learned a good lesson, didn't he? Jesus was on the boat one time. Storm came up. Jesus was taking a nap. Peter said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He learned the lesson. A little later when he wrote his letter to the church, he said, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. He got it. He got it. He cares about us. He cares about you and he cares about me. Amen. So if we can believe, we can receive. If we can believe, we can receive. Amen. There's three important things that I quickly want to mention from these verses about prayer. First of all, prayer must be full of faith. James taught us, he said, a man that prays with two minds and he can't make up his mind and his mind's divided, he said he's like a wave tossed to and fro. He said a man that can't make up his mind, a double-minded man, is unstable. He said, you can't receive anything from God like that. You got to make up your mind. Faith is a great part, is just making up your mind. It's about believing that Jesus, what you said, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to hold on to it. Even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, I'm going to hold on to it. When it's not going the way that I think it ought to be going, I'm still going to hold on to it. When I can't figure it out, amen, as Brother Shindall sang tonight, when I can't see the hand of God, I'm still going to trust the heart of God. I'm still going to believe that His Word is true, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. He said, I'm going to hang on to that even when I don't understand. I'm going to believe. Amen. And so when you pray with faith. Now let me just clarify something tonight. Faith is not telling God what to do. Some people get the roles reversed. And somehow they think prayer makes you bossy. There's a difference in faith and arrogance. Sometimes it appears to be quite a narrow line, but there's a difference, and the difference is motive. Arrogance always have self as a motive. Faith always has the will of God as a motive. It always gives God the option. Arrogance tells God what to do. Faith, ask God and trust. Even if it doesn't come in the way and the form that you thought it should. And so Jesus said, when you pray, He said you got to believe, you got to have faith. The Old Testament word for faith generally was trust. And that's so much a part of it. Amen. It's believing God, trusting God, relying on God, giving God the option of how He's going to do it and when He's going to do it. That's really true faith. Amen. A number of years ago when I was quite a bit younger, and I heard a lot of faith preaching, and I got kind of caught up in some of it, you know, kind of the blab it and grab it stuff, you know. Amen. I thought, you know, faith was just, you know, being bold and stepping out there and blabbing it and making, said God said it and God's, and I never have liked that statement. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when people say God's bound by His Word, and they seems like they say it sometimes in a way that, I don't know, it kind of bothers me. I do understand that God will always honor His Word. Always. God's Word is forever settled. It will never change. But at the same time, you cannot manipulate God with His Word. And I've seen people try to do that. They would get a hold of something in the Bible and they'd try to manipulate God with it. You not manipulate God. Amen. You see, when you try to manipulate God, you're working out of selfishness and not out of righteousness. You want what you want at any cost. Amen. Rather than being submissive to the will of God. Amen. And so when you pray with faith. And then when you pray with expectation. You remember that fella that was sitting at the gate beautiful? That lame man? And he was sitting there, and the Bible said Peter and John were coming to the temple at the hour of prayer. And he looked up to them and he held out his cup. And I like this. It said he was expecting to receive something from them. When you pray, expect something to happen. Amen. I liked the church that called a prayer meeting and everybody come to pray for rain. And just one little girl brought an umbrella. Amen. Now, I heard about a girl that went, she went to be prayed for. She was lame in her feet and could not walk. But when she went down for prayer, she had a pair of shoes under her arm. She said, I'm going down there lame, but I got a feeling that I'm going to come back walking. Amen. And so she was expressing her faith. She was expecting something from God. So when you pray, pray with faith and pray with expectation. Amen. Praise God. You know, one, there was people would pass by a fountain and they'd make a wish and throw a coin in the water. And a guy did that, and his friend said, do you really believe in that? He said, no. He said, but I just never pass up a good chance. If there's anything to it, I just don't want to pass a chance. But you can't pray like that. You can't use God like some kind of a spare tire that you take out in crisis and live a very successful life. You can't just use God as a chance and say, well, I'm going to pray because who knows, it might work. No, 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 no. Pray with expectation. Pray with faith. Pray believing and you will receive. Now, I'm not going to promise you you're going to receive what you thought you would. The man at the gate lifting up his cup, he was expecting money. But Peter grabbed him by the arm and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Man, he was expecting something, but he got a whole lot better, a lot more. And if you'll trust God and believe God, you'll get more than you expected. Woo! Hallelujah. So you got to pray with expectation. And then when you pray, Jesus taught us that you've got to pray out of a loving heart. If your heart is full of bitterness, you're going to have a hard time getting anything from God. Anything besides forgiveness. I heard one time of a person that fasted 40 days that God would do something to this man that he felt had wronged him. He was praying that God would strike him dead, and strike him with disease. That was a wasted 40-day fast. I don't even know how he made it. I don't know. I've never done 40 days for a righteous cause, much less something that stupid. Amen. But when you pray, you have to pray from a forgiving heart, a heart that's free of bitterness and grudges. You see, that gets in your way, doesn't it? Don't you find it interesting that when Jesus talks about faith and Jesus talks about prayer, he almost always talks about forgiveness? Because he said this. He said, if you pray and you have not forgiven, then God cannot forgive your trespasses. In other words, if you're hanging on to a grudge, God can't see past your sins. And what he's saying is, if you'll pray for forgiveness, I can get rid of these sins, and then I can see what else you need, and then we can get on down the road and do what you're talking about. But first of all, you got to deal with sin in your life. And bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness in your spirit. Amen. And when we do that, then God can come on the scene. And He can do the things He really is excited about doing for you. Just let me say tonight, there is no greater miracle than forgiveness of sins. I remember one time, there was a fella came to church, and we baptized him in Jesus' name. He was lame, and we dragged him out of the baptistry and put him back in his wheelchair. No, they didn't. They didn't put him back in the wheelchair. They drug him all over the church, praying for God to heal him. Something spoke to my spirit and said, first of all, why don't you give me thanks because I washed his sins away in Jesus' name. That was the greatest miracle. I mean, it was great for the wanting the man to walk, but he can go to heaven not walking. But he can't go to heaven with his sins. So you see, sometimes we get the cart before the horse. Amen. When we baptize somebody, it doesn't get any greater than that. When people's sins are washed away and forever stricken from the record of God, that's one of the most exciting things that can happen to an individual. When God fills somebody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance and they're born again of the water and the Spirit, it doesn't get any greater than that. Amen. Sometimes we overlook the great miracle for something that is little we think's more spectacular. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm almost through in less than an hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said, if you'll believe, you'll receive. God is transmitting. Are we receiving? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This body is a marvel. That head that sits on your shoulders, between your ears, is a magnificent organ called the brain. And there's not a computer in the world that can do what your brain can do. It is the most magnificent thing what your brain can do. I know sometimes we feel a little addled. Sometimes we feel like we're a little, you know, getting at least part-timers. And our brain, you know, we talk about doesn't work like it used to. You know what? I just think like this. My brain doesn't, maybe it's working better than it ever did. Do you realize how much stuff I've got up there? Maybe yours works better because you don't have so much stored in it. But you put a lot of stuff in your brain. All the things I've read through the years and all the things I've heard and all the things I've seen and all the things that I've done. You know, you can do a lot of stuff in 60 years. You can read a lot of stuff in 60 years. You can live a lot of life in 60 years. Amen. And so there's a lot of stuff up there. I know my computer, when it starts saying the memory's getting full, it slows down. It still works. It just takes a little longer to find it. Amen. So have a little patience, a little mercy. I mean, you're making the thing work harder than it's ever worked before. Amen. And if it works real fast, amen, maybe you need to put a little more in there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's just an idea. Amen. But the brain's a marvelous organ. Because, you see, everything... Have you ever made the statement or heard somebody say, I did that without thinking? No, you didn't. You don't do anything without thinking. Everything you do, it starts right between your ears. That's where it starts, right here in your brain. Every step you take starts in your brain. Every action, every word, every deed, everything that you do starts in your brain. Amen. You pick something up and your brain says, "That's hot!" It sends a message and your fingers go, "Boom!" Yeah, you see, because your brain tells you everything. But the brain sends messages all through the body. But it is possible to get injured in the spinal column, and the head can no longer tell the body what to do. We call that paralysis. You see, the brain is still sending out messages, but the body's not receiving the message. And so it cannot function because it's not receiving what the brain is sending. And that's a sad thing. Amen. But you know what? That's also sad in the church. When the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and he sends messages, but the body doesn't receive it. Amen. When there's some kind of an injury, and he's transmitting, but we're not receiving. Amen. I think tonight we were in the right vein. It was transmitting and we were getting it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you like it when it's like that? I want it to stay that way, don't you? Amen. I want to be so sensitive to what God says and what God wants to do that it doesn't take very much to move us. Doctor told a man one time, the man was diabetic, and he said the very worst thing that you can do, he says, is to get a blister or a sore on your toe. And he said, "Why is that so bad?" He said, "Because it's the furthest away from the heart. It's the furthest thing away from the heart." You see, the heart pumps the blood, and for it to get all the way down to your little toe, it takes a lot. And so you got to be real careful. You see, people that have a lot of problems in their life are the people get too far away from the heart of God. If you'll stay close to the heart of God, there's healing there, and there's restoration, and there's cleansing, and there's power. But the further you get away from the heart of God, the more danger you live in. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. God is sending out miracles if we receive. God is sending out healings if we'll receive. God is sending out His Word if we'll receive. God is sending out forgiveness of sins if we'll receive. God is sending out the Holy Ghost if we'll receive. Amen. It's about receiving tonight. It's about receiving. Amen. God is transmitting. Are we receiving? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I told you how God delivered me when I was very young, delivered me from drugs. Because every time the church was open, my mom and dad drug me to church. They drug me Sunday morning, and they drug me Sunday night, and they drug me Wednesday night, and they drug me every revival service. anything going to the church, they drug me to church. But one day God gave me the Holy Ghost and delivered me from the drugs, because after that I went on my own. Nobody had to drag me anymore. But before the Lord delivered me from drugs, I made an excuse. I was sick. Not too sick to go to church. It's rare that you get too sick to go to church, but it can happen. Yes, I understand. But I wasn't that sick, but I was sick. And so it was a revival service, and I stayed home that night. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I didn't have to go to church. But you know what? It got to be 9:30, and my mom and dad wasn't home. And it got to be 10 o'clock, and my mom and dad were not home. And it got to be 10:30, and my mom and dad were not home. That was before cell phones. Amen. And then it got to be 11 o'clock, and mom and dad were not home. And it got to be 11:30, and mom and dad were not home. And it got to be midnight, and mom and dad were not home. And by this time, you know what I'm thinking. Amen. I'm praying, God, hope the rapture didn't take place, and I'm left behind out here in the country. You never saw anybody happier in your life than I was when I heard that car pull up in the driveway. Amen. Where in the world have you been? They said, "My, we had a service tonight." I guess you did, getting home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Said, "We had church." They were a whole lot happier about it than I was. I was still scared to death. Amen. Amen. Oh, I wish I'd gone. Boy, I'm telling you what, I was evermore transmitting, but I wasn't receiving. I wouldn't get nothing back but fear. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. How about it tonight? Are you receiving God's transmitter? Are you picking it up? Are you getting it tonight? Are you receiving the word of the Lord? Praise God. Do you have your heart fixed and your mind made up so that God can communicate with you? Hallelujah. If your receiver's broke, I recommend tonight you come get it fixed. Amen. The fixer's here. The technician's in the house. If you'll bring your transmitter or your receiver to the Lord, He'll take care of it tonight. He'll take care of it tonight. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Fix that part that's broken. Fix that part that's infirmed. Fix that part that's not receiving. Amen. Praise God. What an honest heart. What an honest heart. Praise God. Amen. I think it'd be really good if we've already had an altar call. Praise the Lord, and God did some wonderful things. But I think it'd be good if we'd just come one more time. Just, you don't have to spend a lot of time as long as you want to, but come and lift up your hands to the Lord and lift up your face to God and lift up your hands and your voice to the Lord tonight. Amen. Make sure that you're receiving. Make sure that as you transmit, He's receiving. Amen. God, I don't want anything to block the channel. If there's any unforgiveness in my spirit, forgive me and help me to forgive. If I've got something wrong between somebody and myself, God, I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to release them tonight. I'm gonna let it go. I'm not gonna hold on to it. I'm not gonna hold on to it. I'm not gonna let anything get in my way. I'm not gonna let anything stop me. Because I don't want anything to stop me from receiving what you want to give. I want to receive every blessing. I want to receive every gift. I want to receive every message. I want to receive every burden. I want to receive every healing. I want to receive all the forgiveness. I want to receive every word from God. I want to receive everything that you have for me tonight. I don't want to miss a thing. God, tune my heart. Align my attitude.
Lord, I place
fix my spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you, give myself to you. My life is not my own, it's to you. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Give myself away so you can use me.
I give myself away.
Power, our God, hey, our God. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And there is a God who loves me, yeah, who wraps me in His arms. And that He loves me. And there is a God.